Yeah, looks like it's working. Let's see, Proverbs 3:60 and Proverbs, let me check that out first. But, yeah, it just opened right up to it. Okay, Proverbs chapter 20 probably is the best place, Linda. Verse 1, actually.
20?
Proverbs 20, verse 1. That's probably, you don't need a lot of verses, but, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And also, mark down Genesis chapter 9, probably the best place is verse 20, concerning Noah, who made a wine. Also, look up Job in, remember Job? Or not Job, I'm sorry, Lot, who got drunk, and look what happened to him. Also, another good example of a bad example. Lot got drunk, and his daughters got him drunk, and look what happened there. There's nothing good about wine, or any strong drink. Notice the word here in verse 1, the word strong drink. That's the secret. But anyone who drinks in public and calls herself a Christian, in my opinion, is pretty foolish. That's a foolish thing to do. But whatever, I can find an excuse to do anything if I really want to, right? Okay. But remember what happened, and kind of remember what happened to Noah when he did get drunk. You know, a lot of bad things happened to him, and a lot of bad things happened to Lot, both of them, when they did get drunk. And always wondered whatever gave him the idea to make wine in the first place. You know, where did Lot get and Noah get the idea? Here he's fresh off the boat, fresh over from wherever, fresh off the boat, and made some alcohol. Where'd he get the idea from? Okay, is that good enough? That help? All right. Well, we'll go ahead and have our. Make our announcements, and then we'll do our prayer. But we had these quizzes, and I've got these graded. However, the second quiz, how many of you were going to complete the second quiz? Linda, did you want to? Do you have it?
No.
Okay, I'll give you one. And as soon as everybody that's interested in taking the quiz is complete, then we'll go over the second quiz, because I want to go over some of that. But I didn't want to do it until everybody had the opportunity to take
one.
I think I have a couple more, though. Yeah.
I didn't get it.
You didn't get one? Did you get the first one?
No.
Well,
I've got all yours all graded and everything, but I'm going to hang on to them until everything's done. Okay? Also, how many of you would like to have the book on the resurrection that we put together a couple months ago? How many of you don't have it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, 8. All right. Well, we'll put those together next week and see that everybody has one. I'll probably have about 10 of them put together. I used to print a lot of those, but I only print as many as we need now because of whatever. Okay. Any more questions before we go any further? I like questions. Questions are good. Okay, let's have our prayer service this morning. I think the first thing we'll put on here is Goldie's having problems. We'll put her on there first with her. Her vision is went away completely, didn't it? And then
it
came
went
back.
Went away completely Monday.
Uh-huh. Then it came back some.
Then I couldn't see nothing. I thought, you know, God, please don't let me go blind. Please don't let me go blind.
Mm-hmm.
And then it come back, and I can see a little bit, but it's a lot worse than it was last time.
That's another problem with drinking. Not that you have a problem with drinking.
No.
But it'll blind you. I've done that too once. Okay, anybody, anything else? Ron.
For Brenda, they're continuing healing and also to give her a lot of extra strength right now in the situation we're going through and the hectic schedule that she's got. She's got a lot of strength.
Okay.
They're through that for Edith and her continued recovery at home. For our daughter, Barb, she needs a lot of prayers right now. For Ricky.
Ricky.
With Wilma.
Wilma?
Yeah, he's blind and needs a lot of prayer. For Michael, he's a lot of prayers right now, too.
Okay.
And for a fellow I work with, his name's Dwayne, and his mother, Joyce, she just had a stroke. Just got out of the hospital, is in a nursing home, and will not make it out of the nursing home. Prayers for Dwayne and Joyce. For the
Okay, good.
I just want to add one for Ron.
Okay. Good. Let's see. Amanda.
Health.
Who?
Health.
Okay. Johnny.
Can you put my dad on there, Ken?
Ken?
Ken.
Ken? Okay.
And Leah and Justin. And our troops.
Leah, Dustin, and our troops.
Justin. Justin with a J.
Justin, not Dustin. Justin.
Justin. Oh, yeah. That's Leah's boyfriend, right? Yeah.
And his family.
Okay. I got Ken, his knee, Leah, Justin, and our troops.
Yeah, but Justin's family.
Justin's family? Okay. All righty. See ya.
Herb is the boy that got hit by the train.
Herb?
Yeah.
Okay. Got hit by a train?
Yeah,
I didn't hear about
that.
Yeah,
One of the other kids lives on my grandma street that had hit. He's still alive.
Oh, okay.
His name is Justin. I put him on there and his family. They're going through a real rough time.
That's the train wreck victim.
Yes.
Type. Okay. Okay. I got Herb and Justin involved in the train. Okay. Daryl?
Can you put my brother Dan in there to keep his spirits up with everything? Put my grandpa Jay on there. And the guy I used to work with, his name's Bill Smith, his brother passed away, so put his family on there.
Bill Smith's family. Okay. All right. That it? Bob and then Tabitha.
Mary and her headaches. And my friend Jim Starkey. He's still not back to work, but he sold his cars, he sold his land, and he's still,
That's a bummer.
Going through some tough times.
Yeah, he really is. Tabitha?
My grandparents, Mom and Jerry, my grandfather, Leslie, and my car.
Okay.
I'm going to get my tires, so I'm riding on my stairs.
Okay. So your car needs work. Needs some maintenance. Sure. It's a legitimate request. Mary?
Mr. Valerie.
Valerie.
Mary and Ginger. And Miss Ellie.
And who?
Miss Ellie.
Miss Ellie. Okay. Now, when her and Diane aren't here, I miss them. Okay, anything else?
Put the Birches on there, husband and wife, they're both in the hospital. Also, put my sister-in-law on there. She's in her last stages of her cancer. And put my, I'm going out there this Saturday, so put me, my big trip out there,
mm-hmm.
and my family to visit. And Dustin is visiting us today. Put him on there. He will be going home for a safe trip home. And I have a couple unspoken.
Okay.
I'd like to pray for a friend of mine, Reba.
Reba?
She lost her daughter on September 20th, and she had a real heart attack. Reba.
Okay. Lost her daughter.
Mary? My sister-in-law, his sister Kathy's having surgery on Tuesday.
Okay. All right. That it? Okay, then. Let's bow our heads and take a minute and lift these requests up to the Lord this morning. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with the following requests. We thank you for listening and being attentive to our prayers, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Be with Goldie and her vision and all her other problems she's having, and be with Brenda and the trouble that she's going through right now, and give her the strength to deal with it. Also with Edith, her mother, and be with Barb, and be with the request for Ricky and Wilma, who's blind, and also with the request for Michael. Be with Dwayne and Joyce, and also with the request for the nation of Israel. Continue to be with Ron and heal him and provide his needs. Be with the parents and their health, Bill and Linda. We ask that you be with them. Be with that request. Be with Ken, who has a knee problem. Also with the request for Leah and Justin, and we pray for Leah every day, and Justin, and be with our troops, and be with the family with the train incident. I guess the name is Herb and Justin, their families, and be also with Danny and the family there, and be with Jay, be with the Bill Smith family and their loss. Be with the Mary's headaches, and Jim Stocky, who's really going through some really, really bad times. And it must be awful. It must be a terrible thing. We ask the Lord to be with him. Be with a request for Laura and Jerry and Wesley. And be with Tabitha's car and fix the darn thing so she can get back and forth. We do need our cars. Be with a request for Valerie and Mary and Ginger. And also for Miss Ellie, who we miss when she's not here. Be with the Birches and the hospital thing there. And be with a request for Pat. And be with Dana and her family as they travel there to pay her a visit. Be with Dustin and his trip home today. Be with Reba and the loss and the daughter. And be with Kathy, whose surgery is coming up. Be with all these requests and all the unspoken requests. And we just ask, Lord, to be with Christian Bible Church. Give us the ability to learn your word properly, rightly divided. And give us the ability to glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay. Beg pardon? It's on. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have turned it on so soon, but whatever. Doesn't matter. I really had half a dozen things I wanted to do today, but I really don't know which route to take.
Pastor, did you say something about the church in a couple months?
Oh yeah, the church. We're not gonna pursue that any longer. Real estate fellow called me up, and the appraisal on the property is $340,000.
Which is something there.
The original appraisal for $160,000 was for the pastor's residence. Now, there's a name for that. I forgot what it is.
Parish.
Thank you. Yeah, parish, whatever. But the church itself and the little lot that goes with it, a very small lot, is $340,000. So I'm not going to pursue that any longer. The way I see it, if the Lord wants us to have a church, we'll have one, and we'll just leave it go with that. My personal opinion is if you're going to have a church, buy a piece of property, an acre or two, with all the utilities on it, with maybe a small house, and start there. That's my opinion. I've started three churches and built one, rebuilt one, and never did either one of them that way, but I really think that's the route to take. You buy a small house, you gut it, rewire it the way you have to, start there, use it, then add on to it, add a little chapel onto it, and that's how you go. That's my opinion. I've been through a lot of it, and that's just the way I see it. And you can start off with whatever amount of money you have, with a small investment, and but my other opinion is, if you guys want a church, work at it. Figure out a way. If you really want one, you get together and work at it. Figure it out. Yes?
I just wanted to say, I was driving to go get Dad for breakfast yesterday, and this is in Willoughby, and on the right-hand side, I looked up, and in front of this church, there's a for rent sign.
Oh, really?
It's about the size of, a little bit bigger than Heritage.
Uh-huh.
I'm just mentioning it. I don't know if it would be a considerate.
Where's it at?
It's in East Lake Willoughby, that area. It's actually on, now you get off at Lost Nation and you go up to like the hospital type. It's before that. It's before that Baptist church there, that big Baptist church there. It's only like three doors from there and it's on the right hand side. All white.
Well, that's, like I say, that's up to the church, you guys. Get together and talk it over. If you find something you're interested in, you know, make a decision.
Well, it said for rent. It didn't say for sale.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's probably an option, I guess. I don't know. I think you'd be wasting your money there. If you could rent with option to buy, that'd be one thing, but you'd be throwing your money away. You might as well stay where you're at because it's not costing you anything, and in the meantime, you're putting money in the bank. Thank God for Prairie Schools. So that's my opinion on that. I don't think renting is an option. Owning is an option, but renting with option to buy might be an option, but just renting is not an option. You're throwing money away. The only good thing that might come of that is if you're in a building, then the church would grow because people would say, oh, that church, they're in a building, you know, whatever, and you get more money. I don't know, but I just don't personally think it's an option. So, whatever. Or we could just pitch a tent somewhere. Eminent domain, how's that work? You find a piece of property that belongs to the government, move in and assume ownership, right?
Okay.
Consider that.
If you put it no name, spell no name backwards and see what you get.
Eminent. Yeah.
Right.
Eminent.
Yeah.
There was a company, I was in Carter Lumber, and there was a company there called Eminent Construction Company. And I told the guy, and I said, you know, look at that. The guy said, no, that's no name backwards. He said, he was shocked. He said, it is. Yeah. So I thought it was pretty neat. Okay. Anyhow, that's all the announcements I had this morning. But anybody else have any questions? Okay. Well, let's go home then. I got something that's been on my mind lately, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning. I've been talking concerning my feelings as a Christian. How do I feel about things? I need to change the way I feel about a lot of things. And I was going to talk some more on Romans chapter 12 this morning. But anyhow, turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 16. There's a lot of things going on in the world that I don't like. But I need to be able to understand them, and I need to have certain feelings about them. One of the things going on in the world that I don't like is the way our society looks at the Muslims, the terrorist problem, the Muslim, the terrorist, the whole thing. And I don't like a lot of the way things are going on in the world today. I'll tell you one thing I don't like that just happened the other day. That fella in the army, whatever he was in, that got dishonorably discharged for mistreating prisoners. I think George Bush should have defended that kid. That's my opinion.
10 years in prison, Pastor.
Huh? 10 years in prison and a dishonorable discharge. For what? For making a bunch of terrorists take their clothes off and pile up in a pile? You know what? Should have shot them damn terrorists.
That's
excuse
me.
That's
the first thing they do here when you take them put in jail here, they strip you of your clothes.
That's right. If you get arrested for drunk driving, oftentimes they'll strip you. You know.
Well,
so anyway, huh?
He said yesterday that they treated his parents good and appreciated that, but he done that from the higher authorities.
He did.
High authorities.
He did do it from high authority. Yes, he did. Everything they did was according to Hoyle. Everything they did was according to their rules. But in order to appease the world, which is evil, one kid gets persecuted, and probably others. And I don't like it. I really don't. And you say, well, that's a terrible way to feel. I don't think so. Those Islamic fundamentalists, those terrorists over there are killing people. They've been bombing embassies, churches, schools for how many years now?
About 20 years.
Yeah, longer than that.
Right when Reagan went in there, however long that was.
And I know how to stop it if I was in charge, but I'm not going to. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you how I would stop it. I would set off a bomb that spreads over the city, wherever these terrorists are. Fill that bomb with pig's blood so that pig's blood would spread everywhere. I'm serious. I mean, I'd kill 100,000 pigs if I had to. And I'd fill these bombs and I'd fill whatever I could, balloons, anything I could with pig's blood, pig's guts, and I'd drop them all over these Muslim Islamic terrorists. You know why? Because they figure they're going to go to hell. Pig's blood will keep them from heaven. That's what I'd do. And I'd kill them. I'd bomb them with a literal bomb, but it'd be full of pig's blood, pig's guts, and you know what? That terrorist would stop. And then the next thing I would do, if I found out that a man was a terrorist, the next thing I would do is, if I was a government official, I would have a secret police organization. I'd call them the Hitman, and I'd go after that man's family. I'd kill his mother. I'd kill his sisters. I'd kill his brother. You say, that's a terrible thing. No, it isn't. Do you know why he's a terrorist? Because his mother and his father raised him from the time he was 4 years old to hate you, a Christian. To hate you and the Jews. Hate, hate, hate. That's what I'd do. And every time a terrorist killed one of my American citizens, if he knew that his mother or his father or his brother or one of his children was going to be murdered by the hitman, you know what? It would stop. And so, go in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 16. You say, boy, you're harsh, preacher. Yes, I am. And I'm not ashamed of it either. Fortunately for me, I don't run this world. I'm just a little old preacher. Verse 11. And I'm going to tell you what's going on in the world today. Now, I'm going to give you the verses to prove it. Because these things dwell on me. And I know I probably spend too much time on it, but hey, it's in the Bible, isn't it? It's in the Bible, so how should I feel about it? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you how I feel and why. You can draw your own conclusions. So one thing I always say, don't take my word for anything. Don't assume anything is true just because I say so. Don't take my word for it. Don't just say, well, the preacher said so. Don't ever do that. Study for yourself, draw your own conclusions, make up your own mind. All I'm doing is telling you what I think according to the Bible. Okay? And then we'll go from there. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Verse 12, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. Does that sound familiar? Who was Ishmael? Well, you'll find out. You probably know. Against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Turn over to chapter 17, if you will. Verse 20. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, God told Abraham, he said, I've got two children, God. Well, Ishmael was the wrong child. He shouldn't have had him. And God promised him a son, so in his haste to fulfill God's word, he made a mistake. As for Ishmael, I've heard thee, behold, I've blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But, notice that word, that little three-letter word, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, not with Ishmael. God made no covenant with Ishmael, whom Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Now, go, if you will, to chapter 25, verse 12. Here, if you will. Now, these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bore unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names, according to their generations, the firstborn of Israel, Ishmael, Nebajoth, whatever, Kedar, Abdil, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Massa, Hadad, Tema, Jeter, etc., etc. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns, by their camps or encampments, 12 princes according to their nations. These became the Arabian nations. And isn't it funny that over there in Israel, you've got that little Israel surrounded by all these great big nations, the Arab. Now then, hold your place. We'll come back here in a minute. Go over, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 7, if you will. Remember what God said, we just read, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And we're going to take a little closer look at that. Okay? 2 Samuel, chapter 7. The covenant God made with David. Why is David important? Well, we'll take a look at that. It's called the Davidic covenant. Look, if you will, over here in verse 10. Or verse 9. God said, and I was with thee, wherever or wherever, whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men who are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, who? Israel. And will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Now get this. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more. Who is that? The children of wickedness is everyone who hates Israel. More than anybody else, those who hate Israel is the Arabian. Now, as a Christian, I'm not supposed to hate, but am I allowed to hate anything at all? There are two things I hate, and I'm allowed to do this. Evil, number one. Hate evil. Number two, false doctrine. How can I say that? Because false doctrine is evil. False doctrine is evil. You know why? Because it's against the Word of God. If it's against the Word of God, what is it? Antichrist. Antichrist, against the Word of God, evil. False doctrine is evil. If it's not according to the Word of God, it's evil. Not only is it evil, it's satanic. The Muslim religion is evil and satanic. Did not come from God. Came from God's enemies. Came from the enemies of Israel. So if it came from the enemies of Israel, if it came from, and it's evil, then it is, listen, the Muslim religion is the worst antichrist doctrine in the world. There are all kinds of false religions, but the Muslim religion is the ultimate. Works righteousness. It's the ultimate. Now listen to what he said. Let's read that again. And neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore. How should I feel about this? Was the United States of America, when we went over into Iraq and those other places, were we right and justified in doing that? Yes. You say, well, how can you prove that? Let me give you one verse, Deuteronomy chapter 9, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 9. I'm trying to cover a lot of territory quickly here, but I'm trying to prove my point and trying to prove why I have a right to feel the way I do. By the way, you cannot take, pay attention to this and get mark this down in your mind, you cannot take one verse out of the Bible and prove your doctrine on it. You cannot do that. In order to prove your doctrine, what you think, how you, in order to prove the truth, you need to go through the Bible, compare the whole thing together. Anyhow, that's why we go through the Bible and use the Bible together. Deuteronomy chapter 9. God told Israel to go over Jordan and possess the promised land. But look what he said. Verse 3. Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he who goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Why? Doesn't that sound terrible? God wants me to go in and drive out these people that possess the land. That's terrible. Listen, the United States of America went over to Iraq. They drove out Saddam Hussein. They're trying to drive out the terrorists. Are they right or wrong in doing that? Well, let's see here. Verse 4. Speak not thou in thine heart after the Lord thy God hath cast them out before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out before thee. They are wicked, evil. God hates it. I personally think the United States was right in going over there. I think there are a lot of things they're doing that are wrong. But you got to realize that on September 9th, we were attacked by Muslim terrorists who use religion as a reason to murder and kill people. That's evil. But 9/11 wasn't the only time. They've been doing that for 50-some years. They've been bombing embassies, everything. Terrorists, using a word Allah to support their justification, which the word Allah, by the way, goes all the way back to an ancient Semitic language, has nothing to do with God. Yes? Yeah, he said he was going to be another, he was rebuilding Babylon, he was going to be another Nebuchadnezzar. Wasn't that right? Yeah. He was in the process of doing that. Right now, Babylon, I don't know if you know this, is just a pile of rubble.
No, it's not. They already have.
They already have? Well, I know that up until about 20 years ago, it was a pile of rubble. But you know what? In reality, if you study Babylon, Babylon is, that's a good point. If we wasn't running out of time, we'd go take a look at that. But I did not know that they were, that he had it actually rebuilt. I knew he made the statement, but I didn't know he did.
I have a video that shows the reconstruction.
Really? I wonder why that's not on the world news, so that you would, that's strange, isn't it?
They don't study prophecy.
Yeah, they don't study prophecy.
Well, yesterday you had on the news they moved the troops out after they said the troops were busting up those pagans and stuff that had Nebuchadnezzar's name engraved in them. They run them out of there, so now they're moving out into another area.
Well, it just goes to show you how demonic Saddam Hussein really is, doesn't it? I mean, that's, Mary? Nebuchadnezzar was saved, yeah.
And wrote it.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Why would he want to be like him?
Well, he doesn't really. He wanted to be like him because he had a different perception of Nebuchadnezzar. He perceived Nebuchadnezzar as the biblical concept of the all-assuming king who wanted to worship. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had the great big statue built to him. Remember that? And everybody was supposed to worship it and so forth. And that's what Saddam Hussein saw. As far as Saddam Hussein,
huh?
What's that?
The Tower of Babel.
Yeah, that's where Babylon was located, at the Tower of Babel. Yeah, and I thought maybe we'd look at that briefly, but anyhow, back to Genesis, if you will. There's a couple other things I need to point out if I have time here. Back to one verse that we already looked at. Chapter 17, verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. God made a covenant with Abraham. It all went all the way back to Adam and Eve. The covenant was, he said, shall bear unto thee this set time next year. Now look over in chapter 21, verse 12, if you will. Chapter 21, verse 12. Verse 12, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman in all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, what does God mean by that? In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Absolutely. Turn over, if you will, to Galatians chapter 4. You need to make a note in your Bible here, right next to this verse, Galatians chapter 4. Various verses here. So let's go over to Galatians, if you will. Galatians chapter 4. You see, all the things that are taking place in the world are biblical. They have a biblical concept, a biblical background. Everything taking place in the world today. I saw on the news this morning, Israel is renewing their warfare against the terrorists. And they said, Israel said, we don't care who cares? We don't care about the rest of the world. We're tired of being terrorized. And you can't blame them. In Galatians chapter 3, if you will. Galatians chapter 3, let's see, go if you will to... let's go to verse 6. Might as well back up here a little bit. Even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they who are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. By the way, how was Abraham saved? The gospel was preached. What is the gospel? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died, was buried, and rose again for the forgiveness of sin. Whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. That's the gospel. It was preached unto Abraham. What did Abraham do? He believed it. He believed in Christ. Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now let's go on over to... where do I want to go? There's so many places. Chapter 4, verse 13, and we'll come back here. Chapter 4, verse 28. Okay, back up to verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Even so it is now. Now, did you hear that? Even so him. Let's see. Let me read that again. But as then he that was born after the flesh, that is Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, Isaac. So it shouldn't surprise anyone that the Muslim is persecuting everyone who is, if you're a Christian, they hate you. And you know what's strange about the whole thing? They don't realize it. They don't realize that they're worldly, evil. They just don't know. They just don't see it. But they were born after the flesh. In other words, no, verse 30, read that. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman. So what's the bottom line? Let me boil it all down here. There are so many, many, much more I wanted to go into here. But let me boil it all down. Bondage is a type of false religion. The Muslim religion, the Islamic religion, is the ultimate works righteousness. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot do anything to get to heaven. Heaven is absolutely free. False religion is always in the Bible bondage. So the bondwoman, Ishmael, became the son of the bondwoman, the ultimate type of a works righteousness. Not only is it an ultimate type of the works righteousness, you can see it in the world today. I mean, it's so visible. It's the ultimate, and do you know why the world accepts the terrorists? You know why they feel sorry for the Muslim? You know why they feel? Because of evil. They are the ultimate works righteousness. They hate God, hate Christ, hate the Bible, and therefore they accept the opposite. You know, the Muslim can cut off somebody's head and nobody complains. And they can put it on a video and nobody complains. But you take an army sergeant who's doing his job or whatever he was, private, I don't know what he was, doing his job, and maybe he went a little overboard, but he was dealing with a lousy, murderous terrorist. And who gets persecuted? The United States, the soldier. The soldier gets persecuted. He didn't kill anybody. He maybe mentally abused them somewhat. Don't you feel sorry for him? I don't. I feel sorry for the soldier. I feel sorry for
him. He humiliated them.
He humiliated them, which is exactly what they deserved. Listen, that's the only way you can deal with the terrorists. Humiliate them. Remember what we were talking about, the pig's blood? Oh, I had so many other verses. Go to Psalm 83 before we close. 83rd Psalm. I want to go to a lot of places, but we don't have time for that. So, 83rd Psalm. Keep not thou silence, O God. Verse 1. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, God is still, isn't he? You say, well, God, what's going on? We know what's going on according to the Bible. The seed is the nation of Israel, Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And then if you go to Revelation chapter 12, you'll see where Satan persecuted the woman, Israel. Why? Because Christ came out of Israel. And that's why you have the account of David, King David, and then you have the two genealogies, going one going to Mary and one going to Joseph. Remember that? We talked about that a little bit. Why? Israel. David, and through those two lines, Mary and Joseph, came the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And so we have the nation of Israel that the world hates, the Arab hates. You have a Christian that you and that they hate you and I, if you're a Christian. Of course, how should I feel about them? I shouldn't hate them, but I should hate the evil that they do, and I should hate the false doctrine they promote. I have a right to do that. I hate their doctrine. I hate the Muslim religion. I hate the Quran. I hate it. It's Antichrist, and I have a perfect right to do that. Verse 2, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. You get that? They hate Israel. Now, I want you to notice verse 3. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, Israel, and consulted against thy hidden ones, the church. Why would the Bible call them the hidden ones? Because the church was a mystery in the Old Testament, right? They were hidden in the Old Testament. No such thing as church in the Old Testament. Didn't know anything about it. They were the hidden ones. But since the day of Pentecost, the church is no longer hidden. Now that we have the New Testament, all that. Got that? You understand that? Good. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation or a people, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. They hate Israel. You know what? They don't know why. It's simple, because they are the children of the bondwoman, a works righteousness, which is Antichrist. Israel, although many of them are not saved, they are God's chosen, Out of them came the Lord Jesus Christ, and out of Jesus Christ came the church, the hidden one. The opposite of the works righteousness, the church, which is by grace are you saved, God's mercy, God's grace. Absolutely the opposite of the ultimate works righteousness, which is the Muslim religion. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. You know why? Israel is surrounded by hatred. And look at Hitler. How many Jews he tried to destroy the nation of Israel. Tried to wipe them off the face of the earth. You know who else did? Russia. Russia, the Communist Party. By the way, communism isn't dead. Anybody that thinks just because Gorbachev tore down that block wall over there in Russia, I've had people actually say, oh, communism's over with. What a stupid statement. Yeah, communism's an ideology. It's the way I feel. It's Antichrist. It's socialism. Whatever. It's not over. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites. Notice that word? The Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, etc., etc. And when you get home today, sometime or other, go to the 120th Psalm and read where David talked about living in the tents of Arab. And David said, I wanted peace, but they wanted war. You know what? I don't care who gets elected in Iraq, Iran, Palestine. It doesn't make any difference. They're going to be an Arab, and they're going to hate the Jew. I don't care what branch of the Islamic party there are, they're going to be a religious fundamentalist that hates the Jew. If you ever do anything in your life, pray for the Jew. You need to pray for the church, pray for the Jew, pray for Israel. God said, blessed is thee that prays for Israel, you see. I guess we're way past our time. Sorry about that. But that's just one of the things I had to talk about this morning. Been bothering me for a couple of days, and I had to get it off my chest. Not only that, you need to know how to feel about it. You need to know how to feel about the United States going over there. We had a perfect right to do that. Islam is evil. As a Christian, let me point out one more thing before we close. As a Christian, I have to have different feelings than I do as a nation. As a nation, we have a perfect right to get angry and go to war, do we not? I have to support that. As a Christian, I am not allowed to get angry and hate humanity. As a Christian, I have to be understanding. I have to have logic, common sense, as a Christian, on a personal level. But as a Christian living in the United States of America, I have to support my country. So I have to think differently, do I not? That's only logical. It's only logical. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I ask that you forgive my anger, my animosity, but whatever, I think it's well-founded, I don't know. I do know that you want me to love, but I cannot love evil, and I cannot love false religion. It contradicts your word. It's illogical. It's satanic. And I just don't like it. Give me the ability to be a good servant to you, a good preacher, a good pastor, and a good everything. But give me the ability more than anything at all to understand your word. And we'll just thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.